This meditation is called Into the Hollow Hills. So sit deep in your chair and relax. Make sure there are no distractions and that you're quite safe to do this. And feel the weight of your body and drop your shoulders, eyes closed, back straight as you can, feet firmly on the floor. Now experience yourself standing in front of a pair of silver birch trees on the edge of a wood. The pale bark of their trunks is reflecting dappled sunlight that shines through the leaves overhead. And between them, there's a silvery mist, seemingly extending from the white bark either side of the trees. At the foot of the left-hand tree is a piece of flint and a small iron blade. And at the foot of the right-hand tree is some kindling for a fire. You pick up the kindling and build the fire a few feet away from the trees. With the iron and flint, you strike a spark which lights the kindling. You spend a few minutes seeking out some more wood with which to feed the fire until it's safely established. And now take a visual picture of that fire burning with the two silver birches behind and either side of it. This is your call home to ensure you get back to this world safely. And the iron is to ensure that no one from the elfin kingdoms follows you. Anytime you may feel you're in the world of fairy, where it is easy enough to get lost, this image of this fire and the two silver birches will call you back to this threshold and to home. Now you go back to the trees and you step into the silvery mist between them. It becomes thicker and deeper for about 4 paces and then thins, and you find you're standing on a small plain of grass at night time. The grass is silvery from the light of a full moon overhead, and to your left there's a small wood, and to your right a green hill, an earth mound, topped with a beacon of white fire. You hear your name spoken. An elderly woman appears as from nowhere. She's wearing a simple black robe with an ebony veil over her long silver hair and over her shoulders. Her eyes, even in the moonlight, are a vivid green. "Greetings," she says. "You're welcome here in the name of the Holy One. May there be peace between us." And you reply with the following words, "And may the Holy One's peace also be with you." She smiles and bows her head in acknowledgement. "You may know me as the Widow Haraban," she says, and she hands you a glossy black crow's feather. This token tells you that all you meet, wherever we go, you are under my protection. You are safe. And you thank her most sincerely. The widow points to the beacon of white fire on the hill. "That is Hauga Eldrin, the moonlight fire of Sidra," she says. "It burns for the third eye on all the hollow hills, which are home for the court of the elves of life. Come and visit if you will." She makes her way towards the hill and you follow cautiously. There is magic in the air, almost crackling, and you know that it is wise to be very careful, very respectful. At the base of the hill, you come upon a stone door. The widow raises her arms, draped in the veils they look like the wings of a bird, and calls out in evocation, "O dwellers in the hollow hills, in the name of Nukva, the daughter, queen and mother, I claim refuge." And the stone door grinds open, and your guide leads you into a surprisingly light passageway. As you follow her, you wonder at the transparent seeming soil between your feet. It's lit like sunlight through amber, with stones laid in it that are carved with patterns and rings and spirals that shine as if laced with fire. They are laced with fire. The passage is a spiral, leading steadily downwards, so that you both begin to walk faster and faster, pulled by gravity, until you almost run into a great hallway of stone, and your senses are filled with light and sound, harp music, sweet scents. And before you know it, you are surrounded by elven folk, taller than you and fair as dreams. Some are blonde, some are dark. All have swan-like white skin and glowing golden eyes. And they're beautifully clothed in bright colours, many wearing furs and worked leather and beautiful, intricately made jewellery. And their very bodies shine from within. Their every movement is grace. Dozens of them are circling around you curiously. And around the great hall, more are dancing and singing and playing. Those who are closest to you start to touch you gently, sending a feeling like champagne through your blood. And they greet you by name. They know who you are. They greet you joyously. And they pull you and the widow into a dance with them and all the other elves. And even if you never could dance, now you can. Your feet tap and flow and move, and your body is full of energy. You whirl and twirl, hurled from one elfin hand to another, full of laughter, full of song, full of music. You dance, and while you notice you're dancing, you see the old lady being led towards a high seat of honour, and the elves begin to sing in harmonies so beautiful you can hardly bear to hear them. She has come, they sing, she has come, the great queen has come, hail to the sacred queen, the queen of the royal ones has come, they sing, come and see, come and see, come hither and behold her. And the voices are like birdsong, and the movement with the glow of jet and amber and dozens of other precious stones flashing in translucent light in the cavern, creating patterns of light and colour that dance with the music. More and more elves appear. The hall shimmers with light, colour and song. It's so beautiful, with a deep and sacred power emanating from each and every being here. You notice that the song now is of ancient chieftains who hunted monsters in forests of darkness. Spell songs of the wise ones who first raised the great standing stones. Love songs for every plant and creature of their land. This is the most beautiful and sacred party you will ever attend. Now the widow, the queen, beckons to you. You see that the veils of her clothing are changing colour from black to a blue-green. She beckons you and draws you out of the dance up to the throne and beyond it, towards another cavern within the hollow hills. As you walk through the great stone door, you come out into sunlight, streams, trees, grass, a great hall of nature filled with trees and sunlight, even though it appears to be underground. There's a river, and in the far distance, the sea. And now the queen seems younger and more vibrant. You see, she is the rose angel Anael, the overseeing angel of this land, gowned in turquoise and wearing a wreath of pink roses in her flame-red hair. She leads you through her country, and with every plant or tree she passes, you see a tiny spirit light flicker. It's genius, it's diva, it's nurturing force. In the waters of the streams that flow below your feet, you see what appear to be tiny mermaids and greater naiads, a silvery, smoke-like consciousness in the flowing water. The spirits of the grasses, the bushes, and the flowers flicker around you. Some of them even look like the fairies you knew of as a child, but they're fiercer, they're wilder. Human laws and practices mean nothing here. The only laws are about joy and procreation. You can feel the sexual power of that drive here. This land is imbued with passion, so much so that you're feeling yourself growing younger, stronger, sexier, more dynamic, and you walk entranced by the beauty of everything that grows here. Strangely aware that the air is thick, redolent with scent, almost fluid. Everything is in movement, with swirls of energy, edits and flows. And as dusk begins to fall in this heavenly kingdom of nature, the devas from the trees begin to emerge for their nightly gatherings. Great, slow, beautiful, spiky creatures with eyes of a soft, silvery grey. Aniel catches your hand now and draws you into another dance with the grey, green, brown, ghostly spirits of trees in the gloaming. You dance with the essence of holly, alder, birch, hawthorn, ash, rowan and oak. Each spirit embodying the essence of its physical home, but flowing in and through each other and you in a great cosmic dance of intricate, endless cycles. Drawn fully in, you know that you too are an oak tree, a willow tree, a holly tree. You are one with all the trees in creation from the beginning of time to the very end. And all around you, like fireflies, the fairy spirits dance, weaving in and out with the devas of the trees. This is magical. After a while, Aniel draws you on. At the far side of this great mystical cavern of sunlit nature, nighttime nature, beautiful nature, there is another stone doorway through to a different world. As Aniel leads you through, she changes again, becoming taller, 9 feet or more, and shimmering with a haze that is simultaneously golden and silver. Her eyes are now pools of green light, and she's hard to perceive with your everyday eyes, but all your other senses perceive her. The touch of a breeze, the cascading laughter of a waterfall, and the scent of roses, for this is now the Archangel Haniel, the great mother of the nature angels, sometimes known as Aphrodite or Venus. Her name, Haniel, means the grace of God. This is the world, the cavern of the sylphs, the airbound spirits of oxygen, carbon dioxide, and the other gases, the sylphs that bring inspiration. The air we breathe, the inspiration that thrives, the chi that nurtures us. All is not entirely clear or beautiful here, and you're aware of contrast, that there is a war in heaven between the pulls of the darkness and the light. Wrapped around the pattern of creation, there seems to be a destructive force that is burning or singing, singeing. A singeing, singing song, a damaging song, something that is harmful. You can perceive that it is not good for the cosmic fabric, the great tapestry of creation. Aniel notices that you've spotted this uncomfortable darkness. She draws you towards it and you experience it howling with grief and rage at a rate that is shocking. Aniel speaks to you. This is the pollution of anger, of hatred, of passive aggression, of wounds that refuse to heal, she says. This is humanity's wound. This, far more than the physical harm your species is doing, is what is damaging the fabric of life on your planet. Every person who blames and criticizes does at least as much harm as everybody who chops down our life force. We cannot survive without your honour and your joy. This is what is needed for your species to support us and for us to support the healing of nature. Every person who attacks the hunter who shoots the safari animal does more harm than the shooter. When you understand this, you will understand why physical pollution follows emotional pollutants. We need your love, your teaching, your passion, not your fear or your hatred. We would rather you killed us than you hated each other. You bow your head in sorrow, uncertain as what you can actually do to help. It's simple, says the archangel, reading your thoughts. Her voice is silvery, bloodless, and yet filled with wisdom. Love us. Love each other. Love every plant. Love every being. Bless every mouthful you eat and thank it. Bless your gardens. Bless your plants. Bless the tree outside your house. Bless the weed in the crack of the pavement. Bless the countryside you drive through. Bless the weeds. Bless us. Give us your love, not your fear. Call us he and she and they. Understand that we are conscious as you are. We are your clothing. We are your food. We are the ground you stand on. We are the air you breathe. We are the life force that sustains you. See, she stands so close to you that you can hardly tell where you end and she begins. And you feel silvery fire in your blood, and you sense that she's asking permission to meld her angelic force with you for just a moment. You consent, and the archangel's energy steps into your auric field, leaving you with the most incredibly powerful sense of ecstasy. Nothing like this you have experienced before. This is who we are, she says. We are joy. Joy is what heals us. Joy and love. Walking together now as one being, you see with the eyes of an archangel how all of creation is one woven tapestry of love, expressed in colour and diversity. Even the dark threads and burnt and soiled patches of this great tapestry are part of the whole, accepted and understood. And you see angelic presences reweaving colour around and through them, healing with every moment that which has not been judged as wrong, simply accepted and guided into being clearer and stronger. Every now and then, the archangel, through you, sends a stream of light into a part of the fabric to dissolve a tangle and heal a tear. You somehow perceive the great stream of creatures returning to spirit after their deaths in the physical world, no matter how they died. You see them taking their place in this great tapestry as spirits. All are joyous, all are gambolling, frisking, delighted by the freedom of death. All pain experienced on earth is forgiven, forgotten, of no account. And yet that doesn't mean you should continue to be cruel, says the archangel in your mind. For a moment you're shocked, you can't think of any time you've been cruel. And then you sense the hundreds of thousands of plants and creatures that have died to feed you and for which you didn't spare a thought, and all the foodstuffs created from a dozen deaths that were simply thrown away, and all the times you dropped a piece of litter, all the times you used a product tested on animals to make sure your eyes didn't stink. But you know you're not being blamed. There isn't blame here. It's just awareness. You're simply waking up to the concept that you are no more important than anything else in nature. Your life has no more value to Haniel than that of a mouse. Not a sparrow falls, she whispers. Everyone returns to us. Everyone is brought to happiness again. And yet our work will be easier with the respect of humanity for the sanctity of life. She senses your understanding, and gently separating herself out from you in one fluid, gentle movement, leaving you empty but still content, she draws you on to one final destination. This is the cavern of eternity. A doorway into a great dark space spangled with starlight. Each star an archangel. This space the womb of all creation, and within it and throughout it, the eternal mother, the Eloah, the guiding light of birth and death throughout the whole universe. Haniel begins to sing a carol of eternal bliss, and it is returned to you in crescendo by a million voices. You feel encased in the arms of eternal love, and the Great Mother whispers to you, "Be my eyes, be my words, be my thoughts, be my actions, be my love." Do you consent? Now at the echoes of your consciousness, you sense a drumbeat. The atmosphere changes, and you find you are outside again, back in the company of the elves, outside the Hollow Hills. These elves are singing a different song from that of the stars, more eerie, still timeless though, fabulous, full of creativity. They are now serenading the moon, which rides high above you, reflecting the light of the sun below in its silvery rays. The elves sing. The mother moon rides fair and high. The land is all adorned with hawthorn blossom. Come, weave the dance of life with us to renew and bless the earth. And with the elves you circle, holding up your arms to the moon, and sing from the very depth of your soul. You're singing in tongues. It doesn't matter that you don't know what you're saying. Song pours out of you. All around you, the scene is lit by moonlight. You see trees and streams all glittering like crystal. The fairy trail radiates wherever they pass. Each bush and shrub takes light from the touch of the fae, and the undine shines silver in the waters. From every living thing, a form of light unfolds to spread glistening wings and become part of this sacred dance. Power flows, and we see light veining the landscape, flowing along the moon roads. Awareness expands outwards to encompass the entire world. The moon approaches her zenith. The dance bursts upwards as a fountain of light, and the moon shining overhead in the height of heaven reflects back all the light and sounds of the night into a single chord of music. All the flowing lights of lines of light in the landscape pour into the circle, and now it fountains upwards to join in one column of radiance. The voice of the Great Mother echoes. Earth and heaven are united, for Shekinah, the indwelling glory, has come. Your inner eyes close, holding onto these images of elden and fairy splendour and lunar majesty. And gently the mind touch of the widow, the old lady, comes to you. Stir yourself. The dance is complete. You are going home now, but you will be an anchor for this vision into the collected mind of all humanity. There may it flourish. You open your eyes in the meditation, and you're standing with the widow by the twin white birch trees beyond which the small fire is still burning. Before you step back through the trees, you ask the widow Raharan for her blessing. And as she touches you in benediction, something that has long been frozen within you melts, and an innocent, forgotten joy begins to flow again. Keep the feather token, she says, and you remember that you're holding that black feather in your hand. You will find a feather this week, she says. You will find a feather. The colour will be important to you. Whenever you wish to return, envision the twin trees, light the fire, and hold the black feather and speak my name, the widow Haraban, and I will come to guide you again. Until then, be merry and wise, O child of Eve, and come back whenever you wish. So now draw your attention back to this day and time now, here in this place. Say your name to yourself inside your head 3 times to pull your consciousness fully back into this body. And when you're ready to take 3 good deep breaths, rub your feet on the floor and come back into the room.